This podcast is presented by All Copy Products, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Learn more at allcopyproducts.com.
To the 15 of the 10, Murray's going to score, touchdown!
Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield. Connor to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
Here we go.
One-handed catch and a touchdown.
Oh, baby. How's that feel?
Here's Danny Sarek, Paul Calvisi, and three-time Pro Bowler Kyle VandenBosch.
Free agency frenzy is officially upon us. Alongside Kyle VandenBosch and Paul Calvisi, I'm Danny Sarek. Lots to talk about with the Cardinals and the reports that have come out because as of Monday, March 11th, teams could start speaking to outside free agents. However, nothing can be official until Wednesday, March 13th, 1 p.m. Arizona time. So a lot of reports to talk about. One official name that the Cardinals did bring back, defensive tackle L.J. Collier on a one-year deal. We will go into more details about that. Some names reportedly that are going to be coming to the Cardinals. Lots of players on defense, which is good news. Cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting, defensive tackle Bilal Nichols, defensive tackle Justin Jones, linebacker Mack Wilson, offensive lineman Tristan Colon, linebacker Chris Barnes, punter Blake Gillikin, and very recently, reportedly announced, running back DJ Dallas staying in the NFC West. Paul, you gotta imagine that defensive coordinator Nick Rawlis is very happy if the if these players pass their physicals and these become real deals.
You know, I'm guessing he went in and he's having the talk with Jonathan Gannon and Monty Asenfort, and they said, all right, so last year you had L.J. Collier and Carlos Watkins, who were really good for one game. So they said, let's go the opposite. Let's bring in a guy, who started all 17 games the last two seasons by the name of Justin Jones out of Chicago. Let's bring in another defensive lineman by the name of Bilal Nichols, who started all 17 games once again the last 2 years and hasn't missed a game since 2019. Everybody now, knock on wood. So you bring in a couple of really reliable defensive linemen, because what didn't you have last year? Consistency, availability, durability along the defensive line. So I'm guessing there was a rhyme and a reason to exactly the sort of player they brought in.
Seems like they're going to be able to get that rotation, Kyle, that was part of the vision they just weren't able to have last year on the D-line because of so many injuries.
No, you're exactly right. And I think that was probably a priority. I mean, you look at this team the last 2 years and just the number of injuries. It was 2 years ago, it was the offensive line. It was a revolving door, different starting lineup every week. And then this past year, it was the defensive line. New guys with, that had been in the building for less than a week that were getting quality playing time on Sundays. And what you want, particularly as a defensive coordinator, you want some stability. You want to know what guys you have, which guys are available every week, and to bring in guys off the street or elevate guys off the practice squad that weren't necessarily getting the reps, that don't know your system. You have to pare down what you're doing. You have to simplify things just because of the number of injuries and the number of guys that were relied upon on that defensive front. So what you do is you've brought in stability. And just one other thing, I know we're going to touch on D-line later. It's probably the area of this team that needs the biggest upgrade because they finished last in the league in rush defense. And they also need to increase their pass rush. I'm not sure any of these moves are going to, necessarily help in the pass rush area. But if you cannot stop the run, just the run rate, teams ran the ball more against the Arizona Cardinals last year than any other team in the league. So they need to put an end to that, and then you can start to build the other areas, upgrade your pass rush and your coverage and all the other things.
Right. The game is won and lost at the trenches, right, where it all starts. We will go into more deeper discussions about these reports and how they help the Cardinals and all those position rooms. I do want to get your thoughts on league reports and deals that are supposedly coming as of Wednesday, because it has been a lot to keep up with. It seems like it's just a revolving door for quarterbacks, for running backs, especially. Kyle, what are one or two moves that have surprised you, whether that's you're shocked that that's where they're landing or it might be a good fit?
Yeah, it's kind of the shell game, right? I mean, shocked somehow Kirk Cousins continues to get paid, and I don't know how. Look, he's a good quarterback, but he's got one playoff win in his career, and he continues to get paid like an elite quarterback. And I really respect him. I think you know what you got. I think you're going to get consistency, but the contracts he's gotten are contracts that you give a quarterback that you think is going to elevate your team and get your team to the Super Bowl or at least a deep playoff run. I think the perfect fit came down today, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. Look, you know, they've been a contrarian offense for a number of years now in a league that spreads everybody out, wants you to have to make you cover every blade of grass. They continue to just be physical and try to pound it at you, and there's no back that does it better than Derrick Henry. I expect him to have a lot of success there in Baltimore.
You know, Kyle spent many years in Tennessee, right? Big country music guy, Luke Combs. I mean, big fan of Luke Combs. You see, he's a Carolina Panthers fan, and he tweeted out, "What are we doing?" after they got rid of Brian Burns and they only got a second and a fifth in return when reportedly they could have traded him last season for a pair of first-round picks. So he went on and just bashed Carolina. We didn't get a first-round pick for Christian McCaffrey. We don't get a first-round pick for Brian Burns. So you can really see the teams that know what they're doing and they have a plan, and some teams who are reacting to the moment. If you're the Bears right now, what exactly are you doing with Justin Fields? And how much return are you getting for Justin Fields? If New England traded away Mac Jones and only got a six-round pick, what is the market value for Justin Fields when everybody knows you're taking Caleb Williams number one?
Mac Jones being traded and Atlanta signing Kirk Cousins, which I'm right there with you, Kyle, 35 years old, coming off a season-ending Achilles injury. The fact that Cousins got a four-year deal is shocking to me. My mind started spinning of what does this mean for the Cardinals with the fourth overall pick in the draft, if these quarterbacks, right? Because trading away Mac Jones, you think, okay, New England, that's set on a quarterback. We were kind of talking, though, on Cardinals Underground, Paul, about maybe Atlanta wanting to trade up for a quarterback, but now they've got Cousins. What does that mean for other teams? And also, what does that mean for Chicago and their plan with Justin Fields?
Yeah, you got to hope maybe, just maybe, the Giants are thinking of coming from 6 to 4, maybe, but they just gave up assets, obviously, to get Brian Burns. I think your eye immediately goes to the middle of the first round once again. Minnesota with the 11th pick overall, they just signed Sam Darnold, 1 year, $10 million. They need a future at quarterback. Denver, what are they doing? Are they really sticking with Jared Stidham? What is Denver doing at 12? I know the Raiders went out and gave 2 years, $25 million to Gardner Minshew, but they can get out for far less than that, and that's really backup money. So are the Raiders thinking of maybe coming up to spend all that money on Christian Wilkins? Makes you think that the Raiders think they're one player away. Do they view themselves as a true contender? So I still think if there's a fourth quarterback in play, that there are teams so desperate, so needy, Monty Osinfort does get a phone call.
Monty Osinfort has made it clear his philosophy when it comes to building a roster through the draft and free agency. I had a chance to sit down with him and talk a little bit more about that at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, and here's what the general manager had to say.
One thing about free agency is I don't think it's a cure-all. You know, I don't think a team is, that's the great place to be roster building and forming the nucleus of a team. I think that has to happen through the draft. And so free agency is a great tool. It's a supplemental tool, and one that we're going to investigate every single aspect that we can to build our team. And then really, once we get to the draft, then that's where the core of our team is going to be built.
Kyle, that's what we saw from the draft last year, the moves that Osinfort made his first year as general manager here in Arizona. And with these reports of free agents, seems to be the same idea.
Yeah, I think he's checking boxes. These aren't flashy signings. These, you know, you're not going to get talked about a lot on NFL Network or ESPN about how great we did in free agency. But you look at the history of free agency, particularly recently, teams that spend big in free agency, it does not work out. When you're trying to make these splashes in, and we talked about this last week, how fortunate we are that we aren't one of these teams that are searching for a quarterback. Because if you are a quarterback that has had any level of success in the NFL, you are going to get overpaid in free agency. And that's just the nature of free agency. If you're a player willing to take the risk and bet on yourself and play it out all the way to free agency, you're going to get overpaid, paid more than what your production says you should get paid. But yeah, I mean, I love this philosophy. And again, with two D tackles, two strong physical D tackles, you know, reportedly joining the Cardinals, you know, it's also part of his philosophy. You build inside out. You don't overpay in free agency. You try to check boxes. And we had talked about this before. You know, you just want to plug in 2, 3, potentially, hopefully 4 starters out of free agency. And then you know exactly what you need in the draft. You've answered some questions, you've filled some positions, and then you can try to really hit home runs with your draft picks. And lastly, You know, one of the things that I am hopeful for, just based on what I saw last year, this coaching staff knows how to develop players. That includes vets and rookies. So these vets that, you know, haven't necessarily reached their full potential, that haven't necessarily put up huge numbers, I think that you're going to get the best out of them here with the Arizona Cardinals.
I think it's interesting to see what they did not pursue. No offensive linemen yet. No wide receivers yet. Why? The draft is absolutely loaded in both categories. Now, edge rusher. Okay, Cardinals, everybody now had one sack in the last six games is when Justin Fields stepped out of bounds. What do you do? It's hard not to look at the what's left on the market and see Danielle Hunter out there. Age 29, yes, it would be a splash signing. Yes, it would be big money, but has he scared off a lot of teams? I saw Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, report that he's looking for around $25 million per year. It's not going to happen. Not at his age, not with his injury history. Had a great season last year, 16.5 sacks, had a ton of quarterback pressures, you know, had 83 tackles off the edge. He would be a really nice addition, and the longer he lasts on the open market, the more I wonder. Maybe, just maybe? Because where are you going in this draft? Unless you're going after Dallas Turner or maybe Jared Verse out of Florida State, but that's going to take a top of the first half of the first round sort of pick. Are the Cardinals going to go there with that first pick? It just makes me wonder. I know it's a wish list, but you know, right now you can all dream until the league year starts tomorrow.
I still think there are certain positions, offensive lineman, wide receiver. If the Cardinals do bring a veteran, maybe on an affordable 1-2 year deal, doesn't necessarily tell me, oh, they're not going to address that position in the draft. The Cardinals have 11 picks. They're going to have plenty of needs and plenty of draft capital to address those needs in the draft.
I think that's what you're going to see with a lot of the rest of the free agents out there. They didn't get what they wanted to. There's not a big bidding war in a lot of these players. It may be one-year prove-it deals where you get a good player on a one-year deal.
Free agency is another check getting closer to the regular season starting. Join the Arizona Cardinals season ticket priority list today. 2024 home opponents include the Bears, Chargers, Patriots, Jets, Lions, Commanders, and of course, our NFC West opponents. For more information, visit azcardinals.com/priority list. A deeper look into the Cardinals cornerback room. Where do they stand now? What do they still need to work on? Stay with us.
It's intercepted at the 30, down the sideline to the 50-yard line. It's Murphy bunting to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Sean Murphy bunting is my hero. Touchdown on a pick six.
Heinicke has it deflected, and it looks like it's intercepted. Sean Murphy bunting got the hands down there.
Intercepted by the Bucs, and it's Murphy bunting down the sideline.
Line drive thrown down the middle, and it was intercepted on a falling down pick. Sean Murphy bunting has just picked off a pass of Aaron Rodgers.
Fumbles the ball on the far side, and it's scooped up. It's picked up by Murphy Bunting, running right to left at the 30.
Mahomes throwing all the way through an interception. And on the return, Sean Murphy Bunting.
And there's a pick right on cue. Sean Murphy Bunting.
And Moore is hit, lost the ball. The Titans have picked it up, and falling on it inside the 20 is Murphy Bunting. He ripped it out. Sean Murphy Bunting has made the play.
Nothing can be official until Wednesday, 1 p.m. Arizona time. However, reportedly cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting is leaving Tennessee, coming out to Arizona. Welcome back into the Cardinals Red Sea Report with Kyle VandenBosch and Paul Calvisi. I'm Danny Sirek. Paul, this one excites you, I can tell.
You know what? You needed to fill the room, obviously. You get a guy who's been there and done that. He has a ring, won a Super Bowl. A guy who really is a self-made starter in the NFL. Saw an interview with him. He was a zero-star recruit coming out of high school. Like, how does that happen? Well, he was a three-sport star. He wasn't full-time football, so he didn't go a lot of the camps. He didn't get a lot of recognition. He was a really good baseball player, et cetera. Went to Central Michigan. Ends up being a second-round pick. So pretty amazing, that ascension to elevate his game. And he was a big cog in Todd Bowles' defense. Anybody around here for any length of time respects Todd Bowles and the way he runs a defense. So I consider that a good fit with Jonathan Gannon. But in an ideal world, he's really cornerback too. You get a franchise corner perhaps in the draft in round one. We'll see, dot, dot, dot. But he's that sort of guy who I think you put as cornerback two in a really stout defensive backfield. And he's willing to tackle. He's a grinder, and that fits the JG MO.
2019 second-round draft pick out of Central Michigan to Tampa, where he won that ring. 6 foot, 195. Will be 27 in June. Kyle, not to throw you under the bus, Paul, but to bring him in and say already he's going to be cornerback number two. I mean, I don't know that the Cardinals have that luxury. If he is cornerback one, you would think the Cardinals probably feel more confident in a veteran like this when the rest of their roster is pretty much rookies.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is the veteran presence. You do need some age. You need some experience in that room. At times in his career, particularly as Paulie talked about, when he played for Todd Bowles, he played more slot nickel on the inside. He does have some versatility, played more on the outside last year, appears to play better in zone, which the Cardinals defense does a little bit more than man coverage. But in points of his career, he did look like potentially maybe a number one corner last year, maybe not so much, but he does have that potential in him. He's got the length, he's got the size, and he's willing, you know. And, you know, he did struggle with some injuries last year, so you're hoping they've done their due diligence. They know that now he's put the injuries behind him. He can step in, and, you know, in a best-case scenario, he is your number one. But the way I see it, you know, looking at the teams that need cornerbacks, there is many teams. Well, you can never have enough cornerbacks. Particularly, there is, you know, of the 32 teams, there is maybe 20 real number one cornerbacks in this league. So this move had to be made. And it's not even, you know, a well-regarded cornerback draft for the most part. So there may be one or two or potentially three really good corners in this draft, but it's not really deep. So you needed to add a body. You needed to add experience. You need to add somebody that does have that veteran playoff experience. Hopefully he can, you know, with the work of with Jonathan Gannon, Nick Rollis, this defense and the coaches, you know, develop and push to be that number one cornerback. But, you know, just based on what he did last year, I kind of agree with Paulie. He may slide in at your number two, and hopefully you can find that number one yet.
Yeah, that would be the ideal scenario, the ideal depth chart. So 4 years with Tampa, he showed up in Tennessee last year, and they asked him why he signed a one-year prove-it deal with the Titans. And he said, in part, because they were going to allow him to play outside. So to Kyle's point, he played a lot of slot corner with Tampa. I think he enjoys being the outside corner. At least that's what he said previously. And I'm guessing that was a big part of the attraction coming to the Cardinals, because you have your slot corner right now in Garrett Williams.
The Cardinals were able to get by with what they had, and the lack of experience, you're right, having a veteran presence could be a big jump. Murphy Bunting in 2020, that Super Bowl year with Tampa, had three interceptions. 2023 with the Titans, he finished with 57 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, and 8 PBUs. Let's look at the rest of the cornerbacks room for the Cardinals. Pending free agents, Antonio Hamilton, who was your starter, and Bobby Price. And when you're looking at the rest of the room, who is set here? Ketrell Clark, Starling Thomas, Garrett Williams. Ketrell Clark is interesting. The Cardinals relied on him as a starter to start last season, and then as the season went on, ended up losing his starting spot because Thomas was practicing and ended up playing well, and that became your starter. Kyle, what do you think the Cardinals have in Clark going into year two?
Well, you know, there was a lot of positives about him coming out of training camp last year, that he was really competitive. He was a student of the game. He was well prepared. And I think he showed well, particularly early last year, but as the season wore on, you know, I think that's difficult for a lot of rookies. The NFL is a grind. It becomes difficult. Each week you have a tremendous challenge in front of you. You never have an easy coverage week. You never have a guy you line up across from that, hey, you know, I don't have to be on my A game this week because this guy isn't going to hurt me. And I think he learned that last year. You know, so many of these rookies that were relied upon last year, some of them were in and out of the lineup with this team. The coaches moved players around. They relied on different players at different points in the season. But that experience is extremely valuable. And you can expect a big jump for not only him, but the other young cornerbacks in the room. And again, I think having a vet to ask questions on that's been somewhere else, has been with a couple of other teams, that has you know, made runs in the playoffs, I think that's going to help some of these younger players. And you got to think that, you know, just based on how this team operates, how Monty Osifort looks for players, that Sean Murphy Bunting is a quality person, a person of character, and somebody that's going to bring leadership. That's probably the biggest box they want to check. I mean, obviously you do want that number one corner, but if you bring a vet in, you want somebody that's going to help lead these rookies or these second-year players or whatever rookies we sign this year and help them with their maturation process.
there's some big names that have free agency in corner. You know, the Xavier Howards of the world, Darius Williams, J.C. Jackson, Tre'Davious White. You got Stephon Gilmore out there, Steven Nelson, Jadobe Azuzi, you know, Kella Witherspoon, Kenny Moore. I mean, so as this drags on a little bit, and maybe there's a veteran proven corner out on that market who's looking for a one-year prove-it deal, I would not be shocked to see yet another free agent addition to that room. As far as Ketrell Clark goes, you know, he was installed as a starter early with the Cardinals, and maybe that backfired in some ways. Who knows? Because his play did regress as you got into the regular season. I had a conversation with him at the end of the year, and he said, you know what? Some rookies take the elevator to the top, and some take the stairs. In other words, I still plan on getting to the top, just might take me a little bit longer. So what do you need as a corner? You need supreme confidence, and Ketrell Clark still has it, and he's proven himself before coming off injury at Louisville, so I'm real curious to see how he responds in year two.
We know this coaching staff likes youth in players, and Sean Murphy Bunting, who's 26 right now, Antonio Hamilton is 31, so bringing in Murphy Bunting brings you a veteran presence while getting a little younger if the Cardinals decide not to re-sign Antonio Hamilton. Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell was on the Cardinals flagship with Bickley and Marotta prior to free agency starting. Let's hear his thoughts on how the Cardinals are going to move in free agency.
Monty knows he has the resources to go out there and get the job done. And so we've talked about that at length. He's going to be smart about it, but we know we're close, and we also know that there have been some changes in the NFC West, and it's time for us to really take advantage of this opportunity.
Taking advantage of the transition phase, Paul, that the Cardinals have been in, and we've heard Austin Fort say that when it comes to free agency, it's really two-part. It's player evaluation of how they played at where they were most recently, paired with how would they fit in here with the Cardinals scheme and in the locker room. So it's player valuation along with the market valuation and those two coming together. But it seems like when it comes to Bidwell, Austin Fort, head coach Jonathan Gannon, everybody's on the same page at how the Cardinals want to address free agency.
You know what? I think they spent much of last year trying to ascertain what you have. Exactly who are we? What sort of players are on this roster? And then once you can identify that, you can go out and seek to fill some needs. So I think it's worth noting that Sean Murphy Bunting, Justin Jones, Bilal Nichols all reportedly got three-year deals. Mac Davis, the linebacker, New England, we'll get into that, but a three-year deal. Now from here is a more one- and two-year deals to fill a couple of holes as you continue to go with the draft the next couple of years, 11 picks this year. So there is definitely a plan in place. Is that marquee pass rusher still out there? Probably doubtful, but the longer some of these guys last on the market. Hollywood Brown, I think it's good news for the Cardinals, at least so far, knock on wood. He did not get big money right out of the gate. Again, it's such a loaded draft at receiver that I just don't think Hollywood Brown's going to break the bank. And does that make him more apt to rejoin his best friend, Kyler Murray?
Especially Hollywood Brown coming off 2 years where he was dealing with injuries. That's an interesting point you bring up of seeing these deals reportedly being for 3 years. Kyle, last year it was a lot of 1 or 2 year deals the Cardinals were signing in free agency.
Yeah, and again, to Paulie's point, I think it was a lot of just figuring out what we had and who's going to fit. But yeah, going into the 25 season, so 2 seasons from now, there's only going to be 18 players under contract, and only 3 of those were non-rookie deals. So this team needs some continuity. Once you identify the players that are going to fit, once you find guys that are reliable, dependable, good character guys, you want them in your building for a number of years because you don't want to be chasing free agency every year. You want to be able to not only check the box for this upcoming season leading into this draft so you know what you can target in the draft, you want to check boxes for a number of years. And I think that's the big difference is now – Monty Asafort, he understands what we have on this roster. He understands what we need on this roster. And one of the biggest things we need, and we talked about this along with injuries, but you need continuity. You need guys you can depend on, guys that are reliable, and guys that can stay on the field. And that's exactly what we got with these 4 outside potential signings, or I guess there's 5 now.
Kyle, you were talking about this might not be the most deep cornerbacks draft class. How does this reported signing, well, soon to be signing, of Sean Murphy Bunting affect the way the Cardinals might prioritize a cornerback in the draft? Does it significantly drop that priority?
I don't think so. I think a cornerback is always a priority. But you look at what this draft is. It's probably the most talented wide receiver draft that we've seen in a number of years. It's probably the most talented offensive tackle draft we've seen in a number of years. And you always want to draft best player available if possible. So what this did is it checked boxes on the defensive side of the ball. I understand a lot of the talk is we go best receiver at number four. We go best offensive tackle with our second pick in the first round. But to me, I just felt like that's not quite right because all of our holes are on defense. So why do we keep adding to the offense? Now, we filled some of these holes, at least with guys that we can depend on the defensive side of the ball. It gives us the ability to pick the best player available and not have tremendous holes on the defensive side of the ball. And we can address whatever is left, add talent, and hopefully check more boxes later in the draft with defensive players.
Are you going cornerback at number four? No. But if you trade down with someone, I could see corner, a Terrion Arnold, a Quinion Mitchell, middle of the first round. As you get later in the first round, number 27, even top of round two with 35th pick overall, there's Nate Wiggins, who ran a sub-4.3 out of Clemson. He's tall. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Ennis Rakestraw, your guy out of Mizzou. Kool-Aid McKinstry, who started opposite Terrion Arnold. I think there's six legit starting corners day one in this draft, and I would not be shocked if the Cardinals got one of those guys with one of the first three picks.
I know the Texans didn't do the Cardinals any favors by having that pick be 27. That still gives opportunity for the Cardinals for that other first-round pick or to maybe move on up. Reminder to join the Cardinals season ticket priority list, azcardinals.com/priority list today. Looking ahead, we're talking about the defensive line. Stay with us.
Look at this. Ball's on the ground. Ball's on the ground. Picked up by the Raiders. And they have a touchdown with Nichols.
The Raiders pick it up and rumble into the end zone. Bilal Nichols just grabbed it from right on the turf.
Snap. Back to pass. Pressure again off the edge.
And he's sent for the safety. Nichols in the end zone. Squished into the turf. And the Raiders defense has that safety.
Bilal Nichols, along with defensive lineman Justin Jones, both reportedly coming to the Arizona Cardinals. Welcome back into the Cardinals Red Sea Report with Paul Calvisi and Kyle Vandenbosch. I'm Danny Sarek. Cardinals struggled with the defensive line, staying healthy, stopping the run, worst run defense in the league. The big move, first big move that's official though, the Cardinals re-signed their own defensive lineman L.J. Collier, 6'2", 291, who's not going to be 29 until September. He had a good offseason, good training camp, and a good first game of the season, Paul. He started in Washington. He had three tackles. Then he suffered a season-ending biceps injury, and his year was done.
He was one of the first memorable moment from L.J. Collier was about a week into camp, and he got tossed for fighting, for a little skirmish, right? A little kerfuffle after the play, and Jonathan Gannon lived up to what he told the media, and he told the team, zero tolerance, get off the field. You know, that was a good sign. He was feisty, and he performed in the preseason. We called his name a lot, and he was good in week one, and then he had the biceps injury, and he was done. But I'll tell you what, based on how the Seahawks have been flailing around, and I mean, they lose Jordan Brooks, and everyone thinks they're getting Patrick Queen, and now Patrick Queen goes and signs with the Steelers, reportedly. So what exactly are the Seahawks doing? He was a first-round pick in Seattle, and he joined us on an edition of the Big Red Rage, and L.J. Collier said, just wasn't a good fit up there for multiple reasons, including me and their scheme. And I think the Cardinals identified his skill set. And man, everyone would have loved to have seen him over the entirety of last season because it started so well.
Cardinals clearly liked enough of what they saw from Collier through last offseason and that first game to bring him back, Kyle.
Yeah, and obviously you know his potential. Being a former first-round pick, you know that he has that potential in the right system. And, you know, looking back at my career, it was the same. I could just never get going injury-wise, scheme-wise here, and then went somewhere else, got a fresh start. And that's the way it appeared for him. He was happy being here, had a good training camp. Coaches were excited about him, and then the rug got pulled out with the biceps injury. So let's hope that – I mean, if you're going to have an injury he will be 100% after a biceps injury. It's not an ankle. It's not a knee. It's not an ACL. It's not going to take him time to return to form. He should be good to go and be full speed once training camp hits. And again, it's a player that feels like he has something to prove, has an opportunity to, make himself more money down the road if he can go out there and have a good season next year. And those are exactly the players you want in your locker room and on your team.
You know what? It's a beach muscle, right? Your biceps. So, boom, he spent all last season in the squat rack and the leg press, and he's going to come back, and he's going to have tree trunks. And just wait. I'm just digging to see what his explosion is going to be like off the ball once you get into training camp. Come on, Kyle. Excuse not to work the legs.
What do you know about biceps, Paul?
Yeah, Paul only does leg day.
Right. That's right. You know, hey, I've been getting in the squat. I'm trying to win the offseason, getting in the squat rack. Of course, the players tell me to go into the child care area to work out. That's cool.
Looking into that Cardinals defensive lineman room, pending free agents, Leki Fotu, who has reportedly going to find himself in New York with the Jets, and Carlos Watkins, who shortly after LJ Collier had his own season-ending biceps injury. Is there anything to it, Paul, that the Cardinals re-signed LJ Collier and we haven't heard anything on Carlos Watkins?
That's a great question. What is Carlos Watkins looking for exactly? We know he got buried on the depth chart in Dallas. He was really looking forward to busting out, having a breakout season with the Cardinals. He went down after one game as well. So what does that mean? I'm not exactly sure what his future might be, but the fact they went out and they got two other defensive linemen who are plug and play, really durable, reliable guys. Okay, is there still room at some point to retain a Carlos Watkins? Leki Fotu, obviously he left town based on the reports and he signed with the Jets. So we'll see. This draft isn't considered the deepest at defensive line. So I do think there will be some more free agent additions. You just need numbers at this point, especially based on last year. But there were a couple of guys who performed throughout the entirety of last season. Dante Stills, a six-round rookie, really good rookie season. And Roy Lopez, I mean, we called his name a lot. The local guy came back. U of A guy spent some time in Houston, also said he wasn't a great fit in that system, and he really seemed to shine at different times for the Cardinals.
Naquan Jones as well. Kyle, by the end of the season, the starting defensive line was composed of players who were not even starting or really getting any rotation if they were here on the roster in week one. That's pretty telling.
It is, absolutely. And look, when you one of the things you do personnel-wise in the offseason where you're looking to add players and looking to improve things, obviously the run defense has to improve. That has to be job number one for this defense. You look around our division, and probably our biggest issue last year was Kyren Williams. Game one, he had 20 carries for 158. Game two, he had 16 carries for 143. And what did the Rams do? They bolstered the interior of their offensive line. We need size. We need guys on the interior defensive line that could contend with that. We all know what the Niners can do in the run game. We all know that Seattle likes to run the ball. I guess we don't know, you know, with their new coaching staff how they're going to approach it. But, you know, the biggest thing with your offseason moves is you've got to make moves to win your division, to compete, have an opportunity to win your division games so you're sitting in the right spot at the end of the season. And you cannot win games when you're giving up yardage like that to a young running back like we did against the Rams and with what they're doing in their offensive line. So I really love these moves. You know, and we know how Nick Rollis uses his defensive linemen. He likes to rotate them, and he likes them to be versatile. And both of these potential signings, reported signings, they've played both defensive end positions. They've played nose tackle. So you can put them in any spot. And if there are injuries, hopefully we can dodge the injury bug this year, really on the entire roster, but particularly on the defensive line. You can move them around and fill holes, and because they are so versatile and have played every position across the front.
When you're talking about the rotation, there was a name that Cardinals fans online were interested in as a pending free agent, defensive tackle Christian Wilkins, who ended up in Vegas. And the reports are saying he got a massive deal. I mean, it makes sense, the moves, the difference in the moves the Cardinals are making, because they want to have that rotation. And if you're going to bring a guy and pay him what the reports are saying that Wilkins is getting, I don't know that that's the right fit for what the Cardinals would want financially with what you want to do on the field.
No, he would have to play every single play if you're paying that much money. And with what his per year money is, we were able to fill potentially four holes on the defense with about the same amount of money. You know, we talked about this before. The Cardinals are hopefully on the back end of a rebuild. We are close. We are potentially a playoff team this year, but we are not one dominant defensive tackle away from being that playoff team, away from winning our division. We need to plug a number of holes, and that's what we were able to do with the money. I think the investments are wise. I think that these are going to be good players, players that we can depend upon and rely upon on this defense.
Yeah, Christian Wilkins reportedly 4 years, $110 million, $85 million guaranteed. from the Raiders. Okay, yeah, that's at the upper echelon, obviously. The pay scale, right at the position. As for the Cardinals, totally agree with Kyle. If there was one offseason initiative, if you're Jonathan Gannon and company, it's your own division. For the first time since the NFC West realigned in 2002, the Cardinals went 0-6 in the division. Rams made the playoffs, really good run game. Niners, world-class run game. Just ask any of the players in Seattle with Kenneth Williams and Zach Charbonnet, two of the most physical, pounding running backs in the league. You got to figure out run defense. And what we've seen so far reportedly in free agency addresses just that.
Let's take a closer look at the reported players coming to Arizona, starting with defensive lineman Bilal Nichols, who was most recently in Vegas with the Raiders. 6'3", 313 pounds, going to be 28 in September. He was a 2018 fifth-round draft pick to Chicago out of Delaware. He's a 17-game starter in each of the last two seasons with Vegas. Paul, that is huge news. That tells me he can stay healthy and be reliable and consistent.
Yeah, and you just plug him right in the interior of that defensive line, and you let him eat, right? Here's a guy, fifth-round pick, 2018, self-made guy. You know he's a grinder. He has that work ethic, something that these coaches demand. And then just the track record of availability and durability and production. 2 years ago in 2022, he started all 17 games. And, you know, there he was with 44 tackles, 11 quarterback hits. And so it's one of those guys that, look, if you can occupy the offensive lineman and let guys like Kaiser White and Buda Baker just roam and hit and make tackles, and you can take on a double team, that goes a long way.
Let's take a look at Justin Jones as well real quick. 6'3", 309 pounds. Coming from Chicago, where he was also the Bears' Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Little fun fact there. Another player that you should be able to plug and play with, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these are dependable players. What you want as a defensive coordinator is you want to know what you have every Sunday. So many defensive tackles, defensive ends, edge rushers, they will have a big game, disappear for stretches. But what you want to do when you're developing a game plan is be like, I've got this guy in this spot, and I know exactly what I have. I've got tough, lunch pail type guys that are consistent on a week-in and week-out basis, and that's what we've added to our roster.
Justin Jones, a 2018 third-round pick out of NC State to the LA Chargers. Cardinals fan, the Dave Pasch Podcast is available now wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest updates, follow at PashPod on Twitter. We're talking linebackers next on the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Royce Freeman in the backfield offers a block right up the middle. They come. Mack Wilson comes through like a rocket.
Has time, and that one is picked off.
Back
and
again.
It is Mack Wilson again with a terrific play.
Screen from McKinnon. Tackle from behind. Got absolutely ripped by Mack Wilson.
Goes to the end zone. And it is an interception. Mack Wilson Sr.
Pitch play here. As Ahmed is buried. What a play in the backfield by Mack Wilson.
That is a sack for Mack Wilson. Fired there on the blitz and got to Mahomes.
Another defender reportedly coming to Arizona. Welcome back into the Cardinals Red Sea Report with Kyle Vandenbosch and Paul Calvisi. I'm Danny Surak. Linebacker Mack Wilson, 6'1", 246, 26 years old. He was a 2019 fifth-round draft pick to Cleveland out of Alabama. A little bit of a surprise for the Cardinals to address linebacker. I mean, we knew, we've talked about, it's no surprise to address the defensive line, the cornerbacks room. Surprised at all, Paul, about linebackers?
You know, little bit, but when Kaiser White went down, you saw the value. When Kaiser White was no longer available, you saw the inability to cover the running backs out of the backfield and the tight end. So you need an inside linebacker who can run. Although what's intriguing is they really used him off the edge as an outside linebacker late in the season, if you look at all the reports on Mack Wilson. And he excelled at times off the edge. He looked really good. He had a two-sack game against Patrick Mahomes where he was beating the tackle. Sort of looked like an Hassan Reddick, if you will. 6'1", 246 with good burst. One of the best-rated linebackers in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus. But he was really versatile. So what does that speak to? Jonathan Gannon and Nick Rollis, they love their versatility. They love to dial up guys in different packages in different ways and try and stay a step ahead of the offense and the blocking schemes. So for a guy who played at Alabama but was around five picks, seems like he's been buried a little bit. And I'll just say this, based on the reaction of the Boston media, a lot of them were surprised slash frustrated that the Patriots lost Mack Wilson. They really thought he would be back, and they couldn't understand a lot of the media members why they would let him go.
In 2023 with the Patriots, Wilson had played 17 games with one start. He had three PBUs, two forced fumbles, 3.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 4 quarterback hits. Kyle, where do you envision Mack Wilson fitting with this defense with Kaiser White?
It's a good question. I think this is the signing with the highest ceiling. I think he's got tremendous ability. When he's lined up at an off-the-ball inside linebacker, he really does play sideline to sideline. He's got good closing speed. He's a physical linebacker. As Paulie talked about, he graded out really, really well. One of the top linebackers in the league when he was used in coverage, he graded out really well. In coverage, he looks good in the run front. You can use him as an edge rusher. It just depends where the need is. But, at a minimum, look, this is an affordable contract, potentially, that reportedly that we got him for. And we also know, so I'm talking at the baseline, we know how this team values four-phase special teamers. He's been a very good special teams player. He can be a special teams ace for this team at a minimum. With his ability, with his potential, I think he could develop into a really reliable inside linebacker. And even, as Paulie talked about, be used as an edge rusher. I mean, I saw a couple of his rushes as well, and he's got tremendous get-off, tremendous burst, and tremendous bend, all three things that are assets for edge rushers. So you can use him in a number of ways, and I think I'm excited to see what he brings to this defense next year.
Looking inside the Cardinals linebackers room, pending free agents, Chris Barnes, although has posted on his own social media supposedly coming back to the Cardinals, and Josh Woods. Is this telling, possibly, the Mack Wilson signing, that if Wilson's able to come in and be your number two or be out there with Kaiser White, I mean, is this telling on what we could possibly expect from Josh Woods or not a Josh Woods to return?
Considering we haven't heard anything about Josh Woods, what does that mean? And if Chris Barnes is coming back, according to his own social media accounts, then Josh Woods might be the guy on the outside looking in. Remember, he had fifth-round rookie Owen Papo, who got a lot of time at the end of the year. Did he prove himself to be part of this depth chart this year? That would not be surprising whatsoever. Do they try and find another guy in the draft? So maybe, just maybe, you get past the draft and you get near mini camp and you see what you have and what you might need. Maybe that's the point at which, if Josh Woods is still available, he returns.
Right. Things don't have to be done right now. There's still plenty of time to add players to this roster, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And, not only after the draft, during training camp, during the season, Monty Osifort has things set up the way he wants them set up, and he will continue. And we saw this through the course of last season. It's not just off-season moves and your roster is what it is, training camp. Because of injuries, because of potential upgrades to positions, he will make moves and find players that can, even if it's a little bit of an upgrade, he will make that change. So this roster will not only change a lot, through the rest of free agency and the draft, it will continue to be tweaked leading up to training camp and through training camp in the season. So it's fun to follow this team. It's fun, it's fun to be excited about and trusting in a GM and his evaluation process and the players he's bringing in, that he's finding the right guys, not only because of their talent and ability on the field, but because of this culture that is being established under Jonathan Gannon.
Reminder that these reports on free agency, nothing can be official until Wednesday, March 13th, 1 p.m. Arizona time, when the new league year starts. So stay locked in on azcardinals.com, social channels, as these reports can start to become official. Pending physicals, players actually putting pen to paper. So just keep that in mind. Looking at, though, the reports of what the moves the Cardinals have started to do, 11 picks in the draft, 2 in the first round. Where do you think that the main priorities still lie, Paul?
Definitely offensive line. What are you doing? DJ Humphries, at the very least, is not going to be available to start next season. So offensive line, you got to figure receiver. What is the future of Hollywood Brown? Even beyond that, it's so loaded at receiver. Cornerback, I think, is coming. You have to continue to bolster that room. And then I'll throw a couple other positions in there. Center. What about, there's a couple of franchise centers who are going to be available late in the first round, maybe the top of the second. There's so many good players. This draft is so loaded. There's an old saying on Wall Street, right? Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. I'm in the danger zone right now because the Cardinals have 11 picks, and that's an NFL high, and I want more picks at this point. Here's something else. What are you doing at backup quarterback? Is there a veteran quarterback out there? that maybe the Cardinals are eyeing. Is it Clayton Tune? Are you going to go the rookie route? Are you going to bring someone else in? You know, what you saw in that one game at Cleveland with Clayton Tune, knock on wood, if Kyler Murray isn't available, what exactly are you doing? So who else is available on the open market right now that you might trust? I think that's an area to look at as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you neglected, but you didn't mention Edge either. Look, this team blew a lot of fourth quarter leads last year, had an opportunity to win games. Every team needs to find its closer. This team has a number of guys that could step up that are already on this roster, or we need to find that closer somewhere else, whether, you know, we find that free agent or we draft a closer, a guy that can, you know, third and long, the other team's trying to come back or at least get in field goal range. You can seal the deal and end the game with that closer.
Cardinals Student Pass allows college students to get info on Cardinals internships, discounts, networking events, ticket offers, and more. Visit azcardinals.com/studentpass. Stay up to date on all this free agency news. Stay locked in on azcardinals.com and our official channels and official YouTube channel. For executive producer Jim Omohundro, associate producer Cody Fincher, technical director Matt Lazarus, and for Paul Calvisi and Kyle Vandenbosch, I'm Danny Sarag. Thank you so much for listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
It is caught by McBride, and it's a touchdown. Buda Baker with the sack, stripped the ball. Murray's going to score, touchdown.
Oh, baby.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! Cardinals win!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.